Personnel and Ethics Committee.
Thank you. Our committee met on November 5th. Trustees Hacera and Montgomery and Soso joined me as members on that committee. We continued our discussion that we began at a previous meeting of the overall process for reviewing the talent of our key personnel and the development of their skills, both to make sure that they are getting adequate training opportunities that allow them to go across areas, get best practices from other universities, develop diverse skills, but that a process that also will give visibility to the key personnel here at the University of Illinois as we look at the overall talent pool. And do our best to retain people so that they see that there are opportunities to be promoted within the university. And we also underscored the importance of focus on diversity as we look at the people who are considered our key personnel. We reviewed a couple of programs that our committee was really not aware of that do provide excellent training and skills development opportunities. One is called the Academic Leadership Program that the CIC operates. The CIC is the Committee on Interinstitutional Cooperation. It's composed of the Big Ten universities and the University of Chicago. And they have been conducting this leadership program for many years. We've had a number of U of I faculty members and several staff members who have participated in it over the years. It gets very high praise from the people who have participated. There are seminars at various Big Ten campuses, training at the home campus, and Vice President Rao, who is has been a participant in the program herself and is also our current liaison, discussed this with the committee, and overall we were very favorably impressed with the quality there. Also, Maureen Parks is our Assistant Vice President for Human Resources, and she described for us another program called the Administrative Fellows Program. This was developed internally by the University of Illinois for staff. There's no current class enrolled in it, but we were also impressed with the description of the program, and their Vice President, Assistant VP Parks and Vice President Rao are going to take a hard, fresh look at that program and see how we can bring that back and make it more cost effective, which they believe that they can do. So they're going to provide more information on that. We asked our secretary to work with the Association of Governing Boards, AGB, and others to help our committee develop responses to the questions that we all developed as a group at our board retreat. There were a number that deal with governance, structure, well-functioning of the committees, et cetera. So we're going to be working together on that. We also scheduled our next meeting for January 18th. However, we may hold another meeting even before then. That's it.
Thank you. We'll keep adding to your agenda so that you can continue the meeting.
I think that will happen.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Are there any questions for Pam or the committee? Thank you. I think now we're going to have a report on diversity. And we've been having a report on diversity since we first met a year ago in September. Today we're going to talk about a specific slice, which is really around professional services. And this is an area that's often unexamined by large institutions like ourselves. But it's where most of the money in spending is evolving to. So that's where we're spending a lot of the money, and rarely do institutions reflect on the diversity of their supply chain and professional services. So this will be a first for us, and we look forward to the report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you mentioned, today's presentation is on MAPPE participation in professional and artistic services. The Illinois Procurement Code defines professional artistic services as services provided under contract to a state agency by a person or business. And what really distinguishes professional and artistic services from other goods and services and equipment is that the contractor has to be qualified by education, experience, and technical ability. Among the types of professional and artistic services contracted by the university include many different types of consulting services, be it IT, hospital, many different areas, architectural and engineering services, financial services, legal services, honorarium, and also artistic services, which some people don't always identify with the professional artistic services, but performances, concerts, cultural events. There are two types of selection processes that are utilized. One is the request for proposal, where selection is not based strictly on the low bid, but it's really based on best value, and price is one of the evaluation criteria, but usually not the dominant factor. And the second process is the qualifications-based selection process, which we're required under the Illinois Procurement Code to use for the selection of architects and engineers. This slide really talks about several efforts that are currently underway to improve our MAFI participation in professional artistic services. In FY10, capital programs added goal achievement as one of the several criteria in their proposal evaluation for qualification-based proposals to include additional minorities in the process. Also, our purchasing departments have issued their first two requests for proposals that include good faith efforts to satisfy MAFI subcontracting goals as one of the evaluation criteria. And those two RFPs are the Medical Center's Healthcare Consulting Services RFP and the Diversity RFP, which I'll speak a little bit about later. Now, it's appropriate to ask how strong is our MAFI participation in what I'm going to call P&A services from here on out. And that's really a very difficult question to answer given the diversity of expenditures that are included in there, and it makes it also very difficult to determine goals. For example, expenditures such as honorarium to individuals, artistic commissions and sole source contracts for administrative computing systems and hospital medical records vendors provide few MAFI opportunities. We estimate currently that approximately 4 to 5% of our addressable spend is with MAFI vendors right now, and we know we need to improve. Several areas where we feel we can improve are in consulting, both in IT and in the hospital, and in audit services. However, I did want to bring to your attention that we do have a good MAFI track record in selected P&A services, which I would like to highlight. This really shows that our university's financing team has issued multiple awards that have MAFI contractors as a part of the equation, both for underwriters, financial advisors, and bond and issuers council. These are the MAFI numbers for 09 and 010. You have to remember that some of these expenditures are very cyclical. We don't always have a bond issue every single year, but I would point out under underwriters, if we broaden the scope beyond MAFI to also include diversity vendors, those numbers go from 7.5% in FY09 to 21.2%, and from 0 to 100% in FY10. In the bottom of the page here, I think you're starting to see the impact of the change in the policy and capital programs, where we had expenditures with MAFI architects and engineers that we place on retainer, that the percentages for FY10 were 9.7% for Urbana and 39% for UIC. When you look at MAFI A&E prime and subcontractors expenses as a percentage of the total expenditures, we're at 16.4% for the Urbana campus and 36% for the UIC campus. The other area where we have a good MAFI participation is in legal services. Now, in legal services, all awards above $20,000 are competitively bid, except for a certain category of legal services that are exempt from the code, and those are contracts that are necessary to prepare for actual or anticipated litigation, enforcement activities, or investigations. However, I would tell you, even in that case, Our legal counsel goes out of their way to be very participatory in the process and include NAFB firms. And you can see here, for example, that 25% of the awards for business organization general advice went to NAFB firms. The same is true for labor and employment general advice. We had 27% of the awards for capital finance counsel, and we had 27% for UIC labor and employment disputes. So we have some very strong participation there. Now, however, we know we can do better and that we must do better, but due to the great demand that Senate Bill 51 is putting on all of our purchasing staff and staffing limitations in general, we knew we needed assistance in order to come up with a plan. So we issued an RFP on October 5th to request the services of a diversity consultant who, among other things, will assess our current NAFB efforts and opportunities for improvement, really help us identify opportunities. Where are those opportunities to increase NAFB spend in professional services? I think that's a key area for us, supplies, equipment, and construction. Then having the strategies that go along with that identification, and then recommending NAFB goals by campus, commodity area, and what are the staffing levels and training and communication across our campuses that are necessary to help us improve our overall results. We expect to award a contract for that RFP shortly, and we hope this will help us increase our NAFB participation in professional and artistic services.
Thank you, Heather. Could I ask a question? On page 5, you suggested that there were other ways to look at the percentages here, and you said, Matthew, I think you said if we looked at the
diversity,
broader issue of diversity.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, MAFB is defined under the MAFB Act of the State of Illinois that back in FY10 it was only for those businesses with gross revenue of $31.4 million or less. Those are considered MAFB firms. Anything above that are we considered diversity firms.
I see. That's very helpful. To tell you the truth, it's very impressive. So congratulate you on your work. I don't know if there are any questions from group one. Thank you very much, Heather. So I guess we're going to go through the agenda, the voting agenda. And are we going to ask Matt Wheeler to adjourn?
Is this the time?
So we're going to go through our voting. One of the issues has to do with the four title changes in the new position. And we thought, Mike did, after meeting with the faculty groups a number of times, I think 40 times, we thought it would be helpful to hear directly from Matt Wheeler, who I hope is here and will address us. Matt has been terrific to the board and has been very helpful in educating me and others on the delights of co-governance.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to the board. I'd like to start off with talking about University Senate Conference statutory responsibility. And so with regard to the governing documents of the university, the procedure is any changes to the statutes or general rules come from the faculty senates basically percolate from the senates to the Senate Conference. The Senate Conference role is to resolve any differences of opinion from the university senates and then transmit those to the president and the president to the board. With regard to statutory changes coming from the board, the process is the president transmits it to the chair of Senate Conference, who transmits it to the chairs of the various Senate executive committees to their senates for deliberation, consideration, and advice. And then it comes back to the Senate Conference to resolve any differences in advice and to add its own advice to transmit to the president and back to the board. And so for those of you that don't know, the University Senate Conference are representatives from the three collective campus senates. This group is committed to protecting and serving the university as you all are. We've welcomed the opportunity to engage in serious discussions about reorganizing, restructuring, and rethinking of the university structure.